Welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers. This is your host, Jerome Lynn Wyeth, and I'm especially excited to be here with you tonight because I have no guest. It is literally namology science that you will be hearing tonight. Now, tonight I have really dedicated this show, at least the first part of it, to talking about the coronavirus because that's what's in everybody's mind right now. So we live in interesting times for sure. The Chinese say that to live in interesting times is both a blessing and a curse. So which side do you want it to be? We have so much to be thankful for. Running water, roofs over our heads, grocery stores still open, electricity, the internet, extra time with family, phones that still work so that we can connect, and even we have plenty of toilet paper. I don't know why the rush on toilet paper, but anyway, because coronavirus does not give people diarrhea, the last thing I read. Of course, they can always change their mind. Anyway, everything has its moment in time when it comes and when it goes, from plants to ideas to viruses to our bodies. The question is not what is happening, but how are we responding to what is happening? Are emotions becoming unreasonable, or can we step back, become the observer, and acknowledge that we're currently inconvenienced and we have to alter our daily routines while we're taking precautions to ensure that all stays well? Now, I invite you to take care of yourselves and to use this time to slow down and enjoy doing what you love to do yet rarely have time to do. You know, to contemplate what is really important in life versus what fills up our lives. Give gratitude that nothing lasts forever, and remember that neither will this current virus. Okay, and I think that's really important to look at. Now, I want to go through the coronavirus, the name of it, and literally interpret it for you and interpret exactly what it means. So there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. So think about it. If the train is going to hit you, do you get out of the way? Do you hitchhike? Do you watch it go by? Or do you just duck? Okay. The thing that we forget sometimes is there's always gifts, okay? Always gifts in that train for us if we want to acknowledge that there's gifts. So I'm going to go through the coronavirus and exactly say what it means and what the gifts are. First of all, one of the very first things the coronavirus starts with is control. It's like it wants to control. And it has the most fearful combination in it of the people that have to be in charge because they're scared to death of what's going to happen if they're not the ones in charge. And they do this out of fear because they're afraid of what's going to happen if they're not doing it their way and if they're not getting their way. And so that fear takes over. And that's at the very start of the name coronavirus. And that's exactly what it did. It brought up everybody's fears. We're afraid to go out. We're afraid to get too close to people. We're afraid we're going to catch something. I think we're really more afraid of dying than getting the coronavirus. Because if you look at how many people are getting it, according to the numbers that we cannot necessarily trust, but if we take those numbers as seriously, it looks like there's such a small percentage of people that are actually dying from the coronavirus versus those that are catching the coronavirus. And I think our real fear, and that's how the name starts, is our fear of death, not necessarily of catching the coronavirus, especially since the numbers at this point in time are showing that very few people are dying from this disease compared to what die every single year just from the regular flu. You know, yes, it's serious. Yes, it's unpleasant. Yes, they now have a way of treating it, you know, if it's treated like malaria, but that doesn't stop the fear from coming up. And that's how the name coronavirus starts. What's interesting is the next thing in the name coronavirus is transformation. In other words, it's taking this destruction, this dying to the old ways, these setbacks, these delays, and it's eliminating all those things. So the gift in this transformation is when this whole thing is over, we will have it very clearly in our heads what's important to us, and in our hearts, who's important to you. So who have you bothered to reach out to and call? Who have you connected? connections are ever so important. That's why I wrote the book, Know the Name, Know How to Connect. And so who have you called? Who have you checked on to make sure they're okay? Who has called you? The ones that have called you, you know they really care. Those are definitely friends to keep. And the ones that you're calling are the ones that you definitely care about, and that's what you're telling them when you call and you say, how are you? I mean, I had a lady call me today, and she had been a maid for me or cleaned my house. She was fabulous at it when she was doing it before she retired and just did such a good job. And she reached out today and she said, what do you need? If anything breaks in your house, we'll come over and fix it. If we're going to the store, tell us what you need. We'll get it for you. You know, just make sure that our number's right on there on top. And I thought that was so kind of her and so nice, totally unnecessary. I'm sitting fine. You know, I have the Lord to thank for that. But I thought it is so kind, and it lets me know that she really cares. How many people have you been able to do that for? The next thing that's in coronavirus is reflection time. And we definitely have it now. So many of us are working from home. Time to reflect. Time to evaluate what's important and what's not. You know, sometimes our lives get so darn busy and the whole day goes by and you think, what did I do today? You know, what did I really accomplish? And the day's already over and it's time to go to bed again. And it's those kind of times, I think, as the days roll one into another, that there are times when I think I am on a merry-go-round and it keeps going faster and faster. And how do I get off? In other words, is busyness taking charge of our lives, or are we slowing down enough to really appreciate the weather and others and gifts and talents? And so the coronavirus is literally saying, can you reflect? Do you have time to reflect? So that now you have this time, we're creating this time, so you can look at what's important in your life, and do you want to rearrange where your time goes within your life? The next thing the coronavirus says is, we're going to give you restrictions, okay? And we are all feeling those restrictions, but it's literally there in the name. However, it also says that those restrictions are going to lead to independence and more freedoms. So the end result will be that we'll have more independence and more freedom than we had before these restrictions. Okay. The next thing in the coronavirus that says that we have fairness issues and we need to be fair. The coronavirus says we've got to be able to stand up for ourselves and we've got to be able to stand up for others, which means it's non-discriminatorily picking or choosing who gets it. So somebody young, somebody old, somebody in the middle, anybody can get it. It's non-discriminatory because it has fairness issues. So when they first announced that it was really only hitting the older people first, I was thinking, oh, no, it's not. Because it's in the name that it's got fairness issues, it's going to hit everybody. And sure enough, after a while, they were coming out and saying, look, 20 and 30-year-olds are also getting this. Okay? But it sits there in the name. The next thing it says also is that it's very logical. It's very practical. So this virus is making you think logically. What's important? What do I have to do? How important is survival? What does it take to be, you know, be able to survive? So it has practicality. It has logical deductive thinking. In other words, think through. Really, if you went to the grocery store and you really just stocked up on toilet paper, how is that going to help you when you get hungry? And how is that going to help your neighbor when there's not any? I mean, I thought it was interesting as I was coming back from a wedding reception in one state and driving home. And this was right before they asked us to start, you know, having imposed, I call them lock-ins because I've been a school teacher and we lock them in when there's something dangerous outside. But these quarantined, okay, self-imposed quarantine. And I got back from the wedding reception. And so for 2 weeks, I quarantined myself just because I'd been around a lot of people. And I thought, isn't that interesting that by the time I'll have a chance to go to the store with this toilet paper rush that everybody's talking to me about, there won't be any. And it's a good thing that I always have some on hand or whatever. But I thought if all of us really cared about our neighbors, we'd only take that which we need and not stockpile, because stores are getting refurbished. Stores can get more in. But if everybody's stockpiling it like it's the last time on earth you're going to be able to get something, then it means there's not going to be enough for everybody else. So are we only thinking of ourselves, or are we also thinking of our neighbors? And so that's what part of this name says. Let's look at this practically. Let's look at it logically. Are we going insane because we can't get enough? Or do we trust that things are going to be taken care of and we're going to be taken care of? The next thing that's interesting in the name is it says we can become disorganized. Now, how do we become disorganized? We go into fear. And that fear can cause us to do things and think irrationally than how we would think normally. However, right after the disorganization, it comes, that's where the logic and the practicality comes in. So even though we're disorganized, we will end up being logical and practical and going, this is what I need. I really don't need those other things. Okay. The next thing that I think that's very interesting is it causes the truth to come out after, if you read the letters, after a lot of fairy tales, but the truth will come out. So as I'm reading the news, and you get different news depending on whether you're reading the news from China, the news from Great Britain, the news from the United States, the news from Thailand and the Orient, all different papers that I read, they don't always agree. And you get different sides or different stories being told. And so it says that this is going to be very compelling and really take a lot of our attention. And it says next to it is the letter that says, I'm including everybody. And right after that, it says, but the truth is going to come out. And it's going to be followed by a bunch of stories to see if people are smart enough to be able to discern the truth from the stories. And that's how you read it all the way through. So the end result is more freedom, more independence. And what's interesting is in the middle of this name, it says that it's going to keep morphing. It's going to keep changing. And it also has a combination in there that says that it's going to take from us what we don't want to give so that we feel violated in some way. And I thought, so many of us are giving up our freedoms of being able to go out. Now, some of us are by choice self-isolating because the government's given us choice, where in other states, it's absolutely locked down and you've lost your freedom to make that choice. Either way, people are staying home. And it says that in the name, that they're going to take from us what we don't want to give. And right now, that's our freedom and our right to choose. And it says what we don't want to give. So what that really tells me is that the minute this thing is over, our freedom, our right to choose, is going to become that much more important to us because it's something that they've taken that we don't want to give. Okay? The last two letters of coronavirus, if you look at it, is the U.S., and that means it affects all of us because we're all included with that U.S. It also lets us know from another piece of the ending of coronavirus is that it's going to keep getting smarter, and we're going to have to keep getting smarter to outsmart it. Now, if you're on that train and you know that there's gifts, the gift is of slowing down life to look at and evaluate and decide what's really important, who's really important. And those are the gifts, and also the gift of health. All of a sudden, attention is on health, and yes, health is incredibly important. Okay? So I jokingly said, to really understand the coronavirus, you've really got to know the name, because, you know, that's the name of the website, knowthename.com. But it's also time to reflect, time to connect, which is why I wrote the book, Know the Name, Know How to Connect, because now your connections become that much more important. Okay? So you know that every Thursday I will do people's names. Some people have written in ahead of time, and they've written in like two or three months in a row, and I haven't gotten to their names, but I will do it this time. Know that I'm taking calls at 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you have a question on your name, anything about your name, or how vulnerable are you between your name and the coronavirus? So, Gina, I promised you this time, bless your heart, you asked 3 months ago if I could please read your name on air, but you gave me a whole list of questions that really, to do it justice, you'd need to have a private. But I will give you that you are so people-oriented. One of your questions was, apply for success in what areas? Okay? And you are really good, according to your name, Gina, in helping people adapt and change. You have people written all the way through your name, and also that you're very good when you're put in charge. So I would start by looking at, could you be an administrative assistant someplace, learn some skills, get good at something, and then slowly work your way into your boss's position when they get promoted. Okay? And that's where I think your real success is. Because if you're working as an administrative assistant, you're really like an apprentice for whoever that boss is. And you're very capable. You'll learn. You'll catch on. You'll do it right. And you have the capabilities of going to the top in what you're doing. Plus, you've got flexibility. And you've got likability and generosity in your name. So I would encourage you to become an administrative assistant for somebody. Learn their job as you're doing your job so that you're taking over more and more of those responsibilities so that when your boss gets promoted, you can apply for their job because you've been trained by them personally. Okay? Another group that wrote in, Pamela wrote in, was very concerned about her son and daughter-in-law. I hope I got that direction right. But very concerned about John and Sophie because they work in the ER part of a hospital and people are coming down or coming in with coronavirus. And how susceptible are their names to the coronavirus? And when I'm looking at John's name, his name is not susceptible at all. So he ought to be able to pass through it without a problem. When I'm looking at Sophie's name, she's really got to take precautions because she gets too close. You know, she's the one that really needs that face mask. She's the one that would, and a good one, you know, a medical grade one. She's the one that's got to really make sure that she's taking every precaution and doesn't wear her work clothes into the house, but takes them off first and then they go straight to the washing machine. She's got to take extra precautions because it's in her name that she could get the coronavirus. Then you asked about sons, William and Nicholas. And neither one of their names says that the coronavirus, you know, would have much to do with them. They're like in opposition. It's like they don't like each other. So when I compare two names and the names say we don't like each other, normally that would mean they're going to avoid each other. So I would think that both your grandsons, William and Nicholas, would be absolutely fine. What Pamela wrote in also, which I thought was very interesting, is that she mentioned Sherry Edwards' work, and I've had Sherry on the show. I love Sherry Edwards' work, that there are certain sounds that are missing in your voice when you don't hit certain notes, and that's where your weak spot is, or it tells you where your body is weak. And she does it on her website, where healthoptions.com, where you can have your voice tested and they literally give you a report on what you're missing. But if you get the coronavirus, she has developed some sounds that help heal you or help minimize the coronavirus on her website. So Sound Health Options is her website. Excellent choice. Then she also mentioned Jill Matheson's music, that's for the coronavirus, which I have not heard of before, so I can't tell you much on it. And then she said Sarah Westall. Now, Sarah Westall is an interesting one. She has a lot of connections, and on her show, Pantheon, she talks about different things that are going on behind the scenes from people who have been there that are looking at things differently than how our newspapers are telling us. And she says that Sarah Westall has a diffuser that is helpful with this coronavirus. I'm not sure diffusers are, but I don't know enough to tell you that. Okay. And then she's also giving her elderberry syrup. So I want to add to that what Dr. Charles Simone said. He's one of the president's doctors. I always listen to him when he has an interview because they're rare and far between. I think the man is currently in his 80s, but I could be wrong, but he's close to that, if not there. And he always says the most interesting things. For one of the things he says is flu shots should not be taken by the very young and should not be taken by the elderly because all the studies show they don't help and they can hurt. But he came out and said that for this coronavirus, if you have enough zinc in your system, you should be fine and be able to fight it if you get it. So the question is, how do you get zinc? And he said, eat oatmeal for breakfast because there's zinc in oatmeal. And I thought, well, how easy is that? Then another doctor that I respect came out and said, make sure that you're having enough D3. So 5,000 units of D3 a day is what they say to get unless you're out in the sun at least a half an hour a day, 20 minutes to a half an hour if you've got light skin. And the darker your skin is, the more time you need to get that, to let the rays come through the skin. So it's up to 2 hours if you have really tanned skin or really dark skin. So I thought that was interesting because from what the different doctors have said, it seems like more and more are agreeing with Dr. Charles Simone on the zinc and also on the D3. Okay, so if you want to call in, ask a question on your name, ask anything, you're more than welcome to do that. And the phone number again is 888-627-6008. And we're taking caller Amy. Welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers.
Hello, Sharon. Great information about the coronavirus. That was really cool.
Well, thank you. How are you coping being segregated?
You know, I don't know why. I'm really at peace with it all. I'm sad that this is happening, but I know a lot of good is coming out of it, and I really believe that. It just has a different way of appearing. But
you know, when that happens in my life on a personal basis, things that I don't appreciate at the moment, I ought to say it that way. That's why I call it bad. Anymore, I always say, okay, where's the silver lining? Show me the silver lining and show me the lesson right away so I can learn it faster and we can get through this. You know?
I love it. Love it.
So I know that there's gifts and silver lining in the coronavirus that we're just having a hard time seeing right now because we're being inconvenienced. Anyway, how can I be of assist? What would you like to know, Amy?
What is the good and, you know, the good and the bad of my name to probably venturing into a new line of work, being that I injured myself? And I don't know if I'll ever be able to go full swing into my work again, not only because of my injury, but even because of the virus, because it's a touchy field, and I'm burnt out. So could you give me any information on my name or what would be good for me at this point?
I would buy you a lot of pots and pans that you could cook for like 30 people all at one time. And then I would go be a delivery service because there's a whole lot of busy parents that literally don't have time to fix really good meals. And so I would offer one of two services. The first one is that you would come into their house, you would sign up for one afternoon a week, and you would fix all the meals on a menu that they would choose for the following week, and then you'd freeze them. Or you'd have the salad all done but the salad dressing and put it in a plastic bag with a wet paper towel to keep everything fresh, you know? So you would literally say, here's your menu for the week, and everything's done. So when they came home, they were simply popping things together or popping things in the oven, but they didn't have to do the actual cooking or the buying of the ingredients or anything. And you would come in with your, what do you want to eat this week? Or do you want me to plan the menu? I'll do the grocery shopping. This is what you owe me for the groceries. And this is what you're going to owe me for the 3 to 4 hours it's going to take me to cook all of this to put it in your refrigerator so you have more time with your family during the week. That's one of the services I'd offer for you. And the other one is to say that you're going to cook for a certain amount of people, like 30 or 40 people, have 30 or 40 clients, in other words, and say, I'm going to cook every night for you, or you cook during the day and deliver it at lunchtime, and say, I'm going to run around and deliver foods, and that you're going to pay me monthly for this, but I'm going to make sure you have one home cooked meal a day, and I will deliver it to you, and you just go do drop-offs, and you do that in the morning. And I think a lot of people are going to realize the importance of food and staying healthy, and that's right up your alley, and I think you'd be really good at it. And you wouldn't need a lot of clients and able to earn enough money to, you know, meet your bills.
Wow, that's interesting, because you know I love food and cooking. So very good. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Now, the negative part is that you don't always see others clearly. Okay, you have that challenge in your name. So because of that, you want to have some kind of a criteria for who you're taking on as a client. And you want them to be able to pay you up front before you go grocery shopping. They have to put down some kind of deposit or give you their credit card or whatnot. You have to have some way so that you're not out, well, you know, when you're bringing the groceries over to their house. Okay?
Great. That was great information, Sharon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, it's important to know where to go, what to do, especially when you're in a changing time period. And with less people wanting to go out to go shopping, just you shopping, you know, and then there's food companies that literally drop off, like to restaurants, that can drop off at your house so that after a while you can say, just bring all these ingredients to me, and they'll just drop them off and you can pay for them all at once, so you're not wasting your time going through grocery stores.
Wow, I didn't even know they did that. Now that's amazing.
Yeah, there's a company called Sysco. Now there's two companies called Sysco's. One's a tech firm, and the other one's a food place. So get the one that's a food place, and see how they work things. But that way you can have in bulk, and it's less expensive, and therefore your profit rises. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Okay. Bye bye. Great show.
Thanks. Bye bye. Okay. On my screen in here, it says in Nevada, strippers now do door drops. Oh, that's cute. Okay. So if you have a question, any question on your name or anything that's going on in your world that you'd like us to look at your name and be able to give you an answer for, the question is 888-627-6008. Then I have some announcements while we're waiting for call-ins. I have some announcements to make. This next Wednesday night, or I should say Thursday morning if you're on the Eastern time zone, or Wednesday night if you're on the Pacific time zone, it will be my second appearance on Coast to Coast Radio. I will be a guest for 2 hours. We'll be talking about all the viruses and what the names say and what the gifts are and also where those viruses would attack in the body, or what the lesson is to learn from the various viruses throughout the ages and what their influence was on humanity. So we're going to have interesting conversations if you want to listen to Coast to Coast. I know that's part of it. Of course, I never know what George is going to ask. George Norrie is a wonderful host. If you're not familiar with Coast to Coast, it's definitely a show to tune in and listen to. Okay, so that's coming up this next week, Wednesday. Also, because of the coronavirus, instead of having the level one namology class, normally we do those literally out of my house. The whole bottom floor of my house is done for workshops, and I live on the top floor. And so instead of doing that workshop here, we're doing it where I literally send out the kit and I've recorded the whole thing, and you can take it at your own pace. And then when you have questions at the end of each tape, then you just call in and ask the questions. So you're getting personalized attention and going at your own pace. And that way too, if you want to hear something over again, you can, because you have access to the recordings versus like if you're taking it in class, you don't have that access. If you want to learn what I'm doing for yourself, this is a great time to do that because you have more time because you're at home. Okay? And so we have a few of those kits ready to go. If anybody's interested, just give us a call or write to us at info@knowthename.com. Okay, so that's kind of exciting. It's a different way of presenting things, like everybody's having to adapt. Okay, so that's another announcement I wanted to make. Also, for any senior in high school or any of you that have a senior or somebody who's a junior or a senior in high school that is either your child or your grandchild, Denise Thomas has an incredible program that she's offering where you can, she literally teaches you how to have your children graduate without debt. And that's how she got her kids through. And they actually did her program so well that they actually graduated with money in the pocket. Okay. And she literally shows you how to have your child go to college without having to pay for the college, or at least come out without debt. And so if you're interested in Denise Thomas's program, just drop me a line at info@knowthename.com and I'll be happy to make the connection for you. It's just an incredible program and she's like almost giving it away for the price. Okay. So again, if you want to call in or get your name analyzed, it's 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008, and it is time for our minute and a half commercial. Stand by.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Nemology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Know the Name, Know the Answers with Sharon Lynn Wyeth. You can reach me through the email at info@knowthename.com. And you can also go to the website, knowthename.com, or the other website, which is Best Name Meanings. Now, knowthename.com is the official website. It has all the media appearances on it. It has how to get sessions, all that other good stuff. And the bestnamemeanings.com is just a ton, 70 pages of articles all about names for everybody that goes, I want to know more. Okay. And the website that's coming is going to be called thenamelady.com. I got to see the proofs of it just last week. We're making some tweaks, making some additions, and that'll be up fairly soon too. And that'll be thenamelady.com. And we're simplifying everything. So it makes it much easier to find, to see, because both of these other websites have a lot of information and they're crowded. So we're doing the Name Lady just to simplify things. If you just want to be able to get in and get out and get done what you want fast and not get sidetracked, reading something else or pulled in a different direction. Okay, so we're talking about tonight some of the coronavirus and some of the other diseases that people have gotten. You know, I was thinking about during the break, the Zika scare that we had, and it really affected pregnant people. And I think it's interesting because the name Zika literally says my way or the highway. I'm all about families, and I came to be a leader, but I don't know what I'm doing. And Zika kind of came and went in a flash. It mostly affected people who were pregnant, so that's how the family part showed up. But they didn't know what it was doing, and Zika, even though it was a big scare and we were all told about it and told to be careful and everything, it didn't do much damage at all. Okay? But it says in the name, we don't know how to lead. We don't know how to do that. So I thought, I'm not surprised that that one fizzled out. You know, I wonder, as people are naming these viruses, subconsciously, they're doing it exactly right with the letters. But I wonder if it would make a difference if we got to name every virus with something that would not be strong, that it wouldn't stay around. I wonder if that would make a difference, because it certainly does in people. Now, timing and what happens when in your life, when you're, you know, when you're doing a real name reading all the way through a detailed one, the timing comes out of what you're working on when, according to your age. So when we do the timing with the coronavirus, it appears that toward the end of May, it'll start dying out. It looks like the hump of the bell curve, where it's going to be the worst, is in the middle of April. And then it's going to start going down. And it could be as the worst part could be as high as like April 10th and then start going down at that time. But it's sometime in the middle of April and it starts going back down. But it's also interesting, the name, where it says it's going to rear its head again, probably in September, if not by October, definitely be around through November. And then it looks like it's going to disappear as fast as it came in, or at least minimize itself where nobody's talking about it anymore, for the last month of the year. So I thought I'd just mention that. So everybody, when it looks like it's gone during the summer, you can say, I'm still going to keep, jokingly, enough toilet paper in the house. Okay, I'm going to store some food and some other things just in case, you know, it's coming back, because it looks like it's going to go up, down, be gone for a while, try to rear its head again, not do nearly as good a job as it does the first time, and then be gone again. So I thought I would just mention that with this coronavirus. I'm curious more on how our social rules are going to change. Just like when AIDS came through and HIV, when that came through, it affected so many people. And for a while, people didn't know how you caught it from one another. And then when they figured it out, it changed the way that people did what I want to call random sexuality. Or even if you were in a committed relationship and it got to the place where you wanted to engage in the sexual endeavors that go with some relationships, is that it changed how we did them. More condoms got sold, more protective sex, more discussions, more check-ins on your health afterwards. It literally changed the way that people just didn't always just jump into bed, because there were conversations that had to happen first. And that really came about and changed in our society because of AIDS and HIV. So I'm looking at the coronavirus and the isolation and how we're asked to distance ourselves 6 feet from others. And the interesting thing to me is that one time I went to the grocery store since I've done isolation as of March 7th, is like they were two grocery carts away from everybody. That's how there were big signs up. That makes 6 feet. You know, and what I thought was interesting is that you'd be coming down an aisle, and instead of having to pass somebody else, the person would turn around and go the other direction. It's like one person per aisle per time. And even when we were standing in line to pay for our groceries, nobody was talking. Now, I live in a very small, very friendly community. Everybody talks to everybody. You don't have to know them. Everybody talks. Everybody smiles and says hello. You know, that's what small communities do. And it's like, it's almost like the separation or the social distance. It means that people aren't talking, even though that has nothing to do with anything. So I remember going down that grocery store and people would want to pass or not pass or whatever, but they weren't talking. And so as I came close to people within 6 feet or whatever, I was saying, hi, how are you? You know, is it going, are you doing okay with this? And everybody would look up startled. Like some people were like, how dare you talk to me? And I think, hey, voices carry more than 6 feet. We're fine. You're not going to get anything, you know. And other people were just so tickled pink that people were still talking. So social distancing does not mean don't voice anything, not to talk to people. But I'm very curious, with so much isolation and social distancing, you know, is it going to be harder to connect with people when this is done? Okay, and again, I'm going to go back to my book, How to Connect. Know the name, know how to connect with people. A lot of good ways to connect, and I'm really concerned that that might get harder for people, especially having been in the classroom and watching so many of the kids so glued to their phones all the time that they could all be right next to each other, and instead of talking to each other, they're all playing on their phones. You know, and are we losing that ability to connect? And if you really did not connect with people and were isolated and all alone, how long would you be happy doing that? I mean, I remember when we lived in Japan and my husband, who was a husband at the time, but now he's a husband, we were living in Japan and he was flying in and out because he worked for the Air Force and he would go different places, what's called TDY or temporary duty somewhere else. And then he'd come home. And when they took him somewhere, he could go any time from 2 months to 6 months before we would see him again. And he was on 1 6-month stretch. And I told him, as much as I want to see you, I need a break, because I'd had 6 months with a 1 and a 2-year-old and no breaks. And I said, I just need a break. I'm going to disappear for a week when you come home for your 2-week break. And when I left for that week, I didn't know anybody on the airplane. I didn't know anybody where I went to go traveling. I didn't know anybody on the tour that I had set up for myself as an individual. And by the time I was done with that week, I was so ready for people and interaction and to see somebody I knew and stuff. And I just, as much as I do private time well, I've looked at that experience and saying, we so need human interaction. And I'm wondering how the coronavirus is going to affect our ability to have human interaction. You know, there's things that come out on in, you know, different studies and whatnot. And when they have babies, like in the hospital, in those little baby beds after they're born, the ones that get hugged, the ones that get loved, they thrive. But the ones that are prematurely born, that are not getting hugged and held, they don't thrive. They literally have died with different experiments, because we need the human touch. We need the human action. And so I'm curious how this coronavirus, when they're telling us not to shake hands anymore, but the, you know, the elbow touch will do it. I'm thinking elbow touch isn't going to do it. And then I wonder if people understood how the handshaking even started. Because so many people owned guns in our Western wild place, you know, this country when it was developing, the person who stuck out an empty hand, one without a gun, to give a handshake, because there was no gun in it, that was a person's way of saying, I'm safe. I'm not here to kill you. And then they would put out an empty hand, because if not, that hand was usually on a gun and you didn't know if you were safe or not. And so that was a friendly gesture to tell everybody you're safe. So I'm now wondering, is it going to be elbow bumps that say that we're safe for one another? Or do we even remember, most people, why we did handshakes and where that came about? You know, one never knows how that goes. You know, it's interesting that jokingly I say that some say it only takes one. but I say that it takes six. And what I'm talking about is the six vowels. In namology science, the vowels represent our emotions, and the consonants represent our attitudes. And so I look at the coronavirus and saying, how is it going to affect us? You know, what's going to be the lasting impression? Okay, so I want to switch the topic. And again, if you would like to call in and ask any question on your name, doesn't have to be about the coronavirus, the number is 888-627-6008. And one of the people whom I did a reading for today, she's called me many times. And so she asked different kinds of questions, which I find fascinating. And one of the things she was talking about today was how the emotions were going up and down. And because I'm in the middle of writing this book, Know the Name, Know the Health, that is, I'm bad at determining, is coming out this year. Anyway, in the book, I say that all the diseases stem from emotions. Okay. That's where all the diseases start from. And it's different from books like Louise Hay because she has a mental attitude or a mental thought pattern that goes with the diseases. And I'm saying in this book, what I have found is it all comes from the emotions. Now, all of our names have prerequisitions or predeterminations that you can get into something, but it basically comes from emotions. Now, I'm not talking feelings, because when you put thought with feelings, it turns into an emotion. Feelings are fleeting. They come through your body. They deliver their message. You get to feel something for a short period of time, and they keep going, and then you don't feel it anymore. Okay? You get those gut feelings in your stomach if you're going against what's been predetermined for you or what you think, you know, you've told the universe, I want to go in this direction. And then you're doing something that doesn't take you in that direction. And so you get that gut feeling right away going, oops, I'm off track. I'm going against what I said I wanted to do, you know. But the feelings come and then they're gone. But when they get mixed in with thought, they become an emotion. And then emotions go round and round and round like a mobile strip in our heads. And they don't leave. And it's the emotions then, as they're stuck in there, that are causing the different diseases that occur in our body. And our names have a predisposition to catch certain things over other things because of how we feel. So why is it that some people can have experiences and do the exact same people as same things as other people, but some get sick and others don't? And it's because we all have our predispositions to get sick or disease in a certain area. And now what would activate that? Well, what happens is if we're off path, if we're not doing what we came to learn and do, if we're not progressing toward consciousness and being more conscious in our actions and more enlightened, you can look at it that way, if we're not progressing in that direction, then that activates that particular combination in your name that gives you the diseasement that causes you then to reconsider the actions that are identified with it to help you get back on path. And so the emotions cause the disease in the body. And then if you can learn what the disease really means emotionally, you can straighten out your pathway and you can get cured. You know, they give people placebos and they do just as well healing sometimes as the people that haven't gotten the placebo but get the real prescription or whatever it's supposed to be. And so they've shown study after study after study that the mind is the most powerful thing and you can heal with the mind. It depends on where you are. And a more positive attitude causes healing to occur faster. And so if you know where you go off track or where you can go off track because of what's in your name, because of the corresponding health ones, then it's easier to get back on track. Okay. So I've been compiling a list and of putting it in the book of what combinations imply with which illnesses or which diseases or whatever. So I'm going to give you two of them just to look at. There's a lot of people that have a combination of an N followed by a D, like in Linda, okay, or Rosalinda, or there's a lot of names that actually have N followed by a D, N like Nancy, D like David. And the ND combination says, always make sure that your knees are taken care of, that if you're playing a sport, you've got your knees covered or padded in such a way that if you fall on your knee, you're falling on padding and not on the knee itself so that you don't actually damage it. So people that have an ND in their name, if they can always watch that they're not in football, they're not in a sport that's really hard on the knees, or if they're a ballet dancer, it's another sport that's really hard on the knees, that you take your precautions. Okay. Another thing that people with an ND do that need to watch their knees is when they're getting into a car, if you're getting in with one leg first and not the second leg at the same time, then that means you're twisting the knee of the second leg when you're getting in. Same thing when you're getting out of a car. If you get out one leg at a time, you're twisting the knee of the second leg. So if you have an ND in your name where it says watch your knees so that you don't need knee surgery when, you know, when you're older, okay, or you don't cause a knee problem to come in early, then you sit down in the car, you bring both legs over at the same time, and when you're getting out of the car, you take both legs over and then you stand up on both legs. So that's one of them. Another combination is an M followed by an O, the M-O. And the M-O, when it shows up in a name, and it can show up anywhere in the name, okay, it means a hydrochondriac. So what does that mean? It means that we make up illnesses or think we have an illness that we don't have and able to get attention. And these people are deprived of getting enough attention to satisfy their needs. So they would rather get bad attention or negative attention than not get enough attention. So if you have friends and family that have an MO in their name, instead of having them become a hypochondriac to get their attention, how about giving them extra attention along the way and surprising them with extra attention at different times so that they don't have that need to go to that extreme to get their attention needs fixed or to get their attention needs met. So people have asked me, why would I want to learn the combinations of somebody else's illness and their names and not just the ones that are in mine? And the reason is if you can see where that person's challenge is, okay, like in the MO, then you can adjust your behaviors to show that you care about that person by helping them meet their needs so they don't take the negative path, but instead stay positive. Because every study out there has always shown that the better the attitude, the better the healing rate. So it's amazing how fast time goes. Again, this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth, host of Know the Name, Know the Answers. And I hope you've enjoyed learning what the coronavirus has said or what the name means in itself, because I think the naming of it's just incredible. And that you've gained a little bit of perspective or a little bit of information, so it's been worth your time to listen. That's always important. And if you would like a reading, all you have to do is go to knowthename.com, go to the services page, and you can sign up for what time works best for you, and you can get yourself the gift of a name reading. Now, next week on Know the Name, we have Elizabeth Joyce. She's written 9 books now. I'm in the process of reading her fourth one, or I should say the fourth one of her books that I have picked up. She is also a regular on Coast to Coast. She is well known as an astrologer and a psychic astrologer, and she's going to be talking to us about what she sees the future of. And when you call in again, we're going to ask for your name and your date of birth and your time of birth and your place of birth. And she will only call you by your birthday so that no other information is given. So know that we've got Elizabeth Joyce coming to join us next week. We've got a great lineup. So Elizabeth Joyce is next week, and she's a psychic astrologer. Then on the 16th, I have Susan Rowland, one of my favorites, one of the least expensive with her accuracy rate in the business. and she is a psychic medium and just a sweetheart. And I'm just delighted that she's coming on. And then on the 23rd, we have Zofarina Morales, and she does Hebrew numerology that personally I'm fascinated by because it works so differently than regular numerology. And yet it's incredibly accurate and such great insights that come out of that. That's on the 23rd. And then on the 30th, I have Joyce Goya, Joya, that's coming on the show. And she has helped a lot of businesses learn how to prosper. So if you're an entrepreneur or you're in any kind of business, you know, you're working for yourself and you want to know how to take your business to the next level and different ideas of getting it there, then you're going to want to hear Joyce on the 30th. So again, this is Sharon Lynn Wyatt. Know the name, know the answers, and thank you so much for joining us. And this is Sharon Lynn Wyatt signing off.